Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Chris Marston. Chris is the Chief of Staff in the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Well, Chris, one of the interesting things I'm curious about is, what role does drug enforcement play in Homeland Security?
Well, it's defined as one of the seven key missions of the Department of Homeland Security in the authorization legislation that just went through. It was sort of an interesting genesis. The initial push was, everything's about terrorism. We don't have time to talk about any other topic. We'll build this department. Everything else will work out. It took longer than anyone hoped to get the whole bill passed and through. But Congress worked its will, and the administration supported the effort to make sure that counter-narcotics work was part of what the department was going to do. So many of the departments that are being combined in the new Department of Homeland Security had key counter-drug roles. The Coast Guard doing interdiction, the INS working the borders, the Customs Service. Frankly, the Homeland Security issue has made our job a little bit easier. Before September 11th, there was less of a focus on border security and those issues, and drugs didn't have the focus that it had in the late 80s when our office was started. But when you worry about something like a weapon of mass destruction or the materials to make one coming across the border, you're looking for a needle in a haystack. Regrettably, when you're looking for drugs coming across the border, they're not nearly as hard to find. So when you're working hard to find something small, you wind up finding a lot more of the big things, which unfortunately are drugs. So we've seen a lot more seizures at the border, and we're confident that we're having a lot more success as a result of the intensified efforts from Homeland Security. Now that all of the folks who have border security and port security functions are going to be integrated together in a single department, we expect even more synergy to produce even better results. And we now have a focus on stopping threats as far out from our borders as we can. So the Coast Guard is working farther out from the shores. We're working in international airports to stop things that might be involved on flights coming into the United States. So that's going to help us too. We have more of an outward presence that's also going to be able to help us stop drugs coming through.
How will Homeland Security affect, will it affect the mission, but I was also even thinking about the interactions. I mean, it's all going to be under one roof now. And so
in the short term, it probably makes coordination a little harder. In the long term, I think it makes it easier to have one cabinet secretary to deal with who has most of the important border and enforcement functions is really going to be a benefit for us. But during the transition time, as I'm sure you know, some bureaus are moving over as of March 1st. Some won't move over till September. And in the interim, nobody's really sure who's in charge of what. For example, in OMB's passback process, customarily, departments make requests, OMB passes back the answer to those departments. For the agencies that are going to be part of the Homeland Security Department, for INS, that's at the Department of Justice, they didn't get the pass back for INS. Governor Ridge's office, the White House, did. So they'll manage the appeals process with OMB in making those final decisions. And that might limit the interaction that the Bureau actually has in terms of discerning its own budget. So it's very difficult to sort of draw the right organizational lines at this point. And it's difficult to hold the Secretary of the Treasury accountable for the performance of law enforcement agencies at Treasury when by the end of the year there won't be any. So it's really a challenge right now. But I think in the end, we're going to wind up with a lot better integration of our enforcement efforts, particularly on the borders and maritime enforcement.
What are the management lessons you might offer Homeland Security in terms of coordinating with other departments and getting them all to work together?
Well, it's interesting you ask. We actually did a lot of work in the process of standing up the Office of Homeland Security, and then again in the process that resulted in the final bill. Before the president made a decision to establish an Office of Homeland Security and invited Governor Ridge to head it, we met with Steve Abbott, who was at the time working for the vice president on his homeland sort of preparedness efforts. He later became Governor Ridge's deputy, but he was largely responsible for setting up the executive order that created the Office of Homeland Security. And this was actually, it was an awkward time because it was before our director was confirmed. So I went over with then our acting director, and we talked to Steve Abbott about how we do things and what goes on. Our budget office communicated extensively with Governor Ridge's budget office in developing the authorities of their office. We have some specific statutory authority to coordinate other agencies' budgets. bureaus have to send us their budgets the same time they do to the main department. We provide feedback to the secretary on what we think of their budget submission in addition to what his folks think. Then all the departments have to send us their budget request at the same time they send it to OMB. So we communicate with OMB what we think about their budget request. And we actually have some execution authorities. We can issue a funds control notice, which is a terrible sounding thing that we very rarely do, but that essentially says for this amount of funds over whatever period of time, you may not obligate it for any purpose except this. In a collaborative government where we're all playing for the same team, you don't use those very often. But just knowing that that's there sometimes makes other agencies pay a little more attention. So we worked through issues like that with Governor Ridge and how he might implement a similar budget process in his office. We also were in the somewhat awkward position of taking questions from various congressional sources as they were developing their position on how to build a new Homeland Security infrastructure, whether it be an office at the White House or a separate department. And there were some people who said, well, let's just take the ONDCP model and use it for Homeland Security. That wasn't the administration's position because it was a different problem that required a different solution. At the same time, we have an obligation to explain how we work to various congressional committees. So that was a bit of a challenge to balance our responsibilities in the executive branch to the information we needed to provide to Congress. But as a result, we wound up being fairly heavily involved in the whole process and I think in the end very helpful in getting it done.
Well, let's look out to the future. What's your vision for ONDCP over the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, over the next 5 years, we have our central goal of reducing drug use by 25%, and we need to work hard on our interagency collaboration and our sort of intergovernmental collaboration, taking the good things that we produce in federal agencies and driving them down to states and localities where they can really make a difference. It's probably a little ambitious, but over 10 years, I hope we can go out of business. The drug problem in America is something we can address and are addressing, and I think we can have a lot of success. And I'd love to get to a point where drugs aren't a big enough problem to need a central coordinating office, where we can sort of let the programs we have out there continue in smaller form because there's less of a problem to address. Putting ourselves out of business is our job. It's an awkward position to be in, but that's what we really want to do.
What are the management challenges for ONDCP on the immediate horizon?
As we talked a little bit about Homeland Security and the sort of short-term problems that's going to cause, but every time there's a change in political leadership anywhere in government, re-educating them about their relationship with our office and how we can work together to reduce the drug problem is always a challenge. We have to continue strong relationships with career officials all over the government and then make sure that we're part of the calculation that political officials make as they do their decision-making in their own departments and agencies.
Well, it's interesting. When we were a couple questions ago, you were talking about Homeland Security and people saying, let's copy the ONDCP model. I wonder about sort of the need for more of these coordinating offices, the way you described ONDCP, in the executive office of the president. Do you think we might see more of that for other programs?
I'd be a little bit surprised. I don't want to say the drug issue is completely unique, but I think for the issues that do have coordinating groups in the executive office of the president, like the Council on Environmental Quality is another good example. You know, EPA, Interior, Agriculture all share some responsibility. So the more diffuse responsibility for the total policy area is in the federal government, the more important it is to have a central management function. So I don't think there's a lot of things that are like that that are going to continue to come up. It's much easier, the way government works, to have a single cabinet official who is responsible for a single policy area, and then you know where to go when there's a problem and who to talk to about solutions. It's a real challenge on something like drug policy, where there's so many people who affect it and it's so broad, or on the environment, where the same thing applies. But I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of problems like that. The National Security Council sort of does that for anything that's outward focused, and the Domestic Policy Council plays that role along with the National Economic Council for things that are internally focused. So where it's an issue of developing policy for the president that's to be executed in one place or in very few places that requires collaboration between two or maybe three departments, you know, I think those organizations are equipped to deal with it. I think it's only where something spreads out much more broadly over the government that you really need a central coordinating function. OMB plays that role for some things that are more broad, but where there's a really important policy emphasis and not just sort of a budget integration emphasis, it's important to have some substantive experts in addition to the budget and finance and management experts at OMB. So I think that's kind of where we fit in. And I don't really see a lot of issues on the horizon that are going to be like that.
Well, let me ask you to be reflective here for a minute. What advice would you give to a person interested in a public sector career?
Try it out. It's really great. I never expected when I was in high school or college that I would wind up in public service exclusively. And to date, that's what I've done. And there are days that are very, very frustrating. Government doesn't move at the speed of light. Some things don't go well. Some things are very frustrating. It's not like being a CEO. You don't always get to make the decision. In the end, you know you're working on something very important, and you know you're doing it for very important people and for a country you love, and that can be very rewarding. So it's been a great experience for me, and I actually especially hope that people who have been in the private sector will bring some of the expertise they've developed there into the public sector, because that's really how we can improve management and make government more efficient and have less of those bad days.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Chris, for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Paul. If people are interested in more information, they can visit us on the web at www.whitehousedrugpolicy.gov. Another interesting resource is www.results.gov, which the administration is using to communicate about the president's management agenda with its officials, and I think people might really enjoy that.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Chris Marston, Chief of Staff in the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.